Certainly welcome everyone today. We are glad that Danielle came to be with us this morning. We certainly appreciate that so much, everyone's presence today, being here with us. We certainly do appreciate it. We've almost got this side. It's somebody on every seat. We only need one more, two more on that side, except for the front. Nobody ever sits on the front. So, of course, if Roger Jr. was here, we'd have forced him up on the front seat today. It's where he really needs to be anyway. So, but he didn't show up. So, we do so much appreciate everyone being here. And as I always say, it's such an encouragement to be together, to be able to build each other up. And I'm going to talk today about companions, and the reason I chose this subject was because of what Gary had said in our class a couple of weeks ago, and as I was thinking about that, and companions being a little bit different, it is a friend, but it also carries a meaning of something where you're bound together with in some way. But I was just thinking of how Gina saved Linda. She brought in the actual copy of the email that gives the directions for anyone that would like to go to that today, and certainly it would be beneficial to be with other Christians to sing songs. And I think it said on there finger food instead of a covered dish, and I've never understood finger food, but anyway, that would be good. But right now we're doing something that God has wanted us to do. He's wanted us to assemble on this first day of the week to remember His Son and to think about what He did for us. And so there's a lot of instructions in the Bible. I mean, we could talk about a lot of subject matters, but, you know, we were talking about last week, and we're going to actually use this at the beginning about Gideon and his servant Purah, and Gary had made mention of the fact that it is so good to have someone that you trust with you when you're going to do something that important. And we just kind of read over those things sometimes, and we don't really realize what that means. And sometimes we'll take the main person in the story, and we sometimes forget all of those other people. Like, we'll take Gideon, and we'll talk about him a lot. But those other 300 people, there's a lot of courage there in those men to do that. It wasn't just Gideon, and we don't know them by name. But God does. And God appreciated what they did. And it made it possible for Gideon to be the leader he was. You don't lead if there's no one to follow. And so as we look at this and we think about it, I was thinking about the importance of sometimes having someone with us. And I've commented, and we've talked about this many times in the Wednesday night class, that not only do we turn to God, but we also turn to other people. And we're glad when they're there with us, standing, as it were, shoulder to shoulder, and we're doing something in God's kingdom together. And we note this in the Bible a lot, like the 70. He sent them out when twos. He didn't send them out by themselves. And it is sometimes very difficult to do that. God meant for us to have other people in our lives. And certainly there are folks that don't really want anyone else in their life, and various reasons for that. But for the most part, people do want people in their lives that will help them through life, and we can certainly see that. So as we look at this passage of Scripture, Proverbs 13, verse 20, "He who walks with wise will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed." And what he's saying here, it's not just a friendship, and I know different translations are going to have that different ways. That's the New King James Version. But when you look at other versions, you'll certainly find maybe some things different with that. And you'll notice that with a lot of the Proverbs, varying with the translation, they struggle with some of these things that were said in this, and they certainly try to make them fit whatever they believe is being the writer's trying to say. Now, Webster defines a companion as one who accompanies or is in company with another for a longer or shorter period, either from choice or casually. One who is much in the company of or associated with another or others. An associate, a comrade, a consort, a partner. Now, the Bible uses several terms. I put two of the terms that it uses that sometimes, depending on the translations, translated companion. This one is quite a bit in the Old Testament. I guess it's Shabir, or would be the way to pronounce it. I don't know. It's an associate. It's a companion. It's a fellow. It means to be knit together. So it's more than just that casual friendship that we might have with someone. It actually has the idea, even though they are used interchangeably, and sometimes the word friend is also used for this, and this is used for friend. In the New Testament, one of the words that's used, and used primarily, is this word, S-U-N-E-R-G-O-S. It's a companion in labor. It's a work fellow. It's a co-laborer. And sometimes you'll see it translated, again, depending on the translation, as companion. And what it's talking about, even though that person may not directly be there with you, you're working toward the same goal. You're knit together. You're a part of the same thing. And that's really what we're talking about today. We have casual friendships with people that we definitely wouldn't want to be knit together with, if you will. We would not want that. Now, we talked about Gideon in Purah. And this is found in Judges 7, 9 through 13. And in this story, when he's going to go down to the camp of the Midians, and God tells him, you know, go down there, check this out. And he goes down, and it says that in verse 11, then he went down with Purah his servant to the outposts of the armed men who were in the camp. Now the Midianites and Amalekites, all the people of the east, were lying in the valley as numerous as locusts, and their camels were without number as the sand by the seashore in multitude. And when Gideon had come, there was a man telling a dream to his companion. Can you imagine the courage that it would have taken for these two men to go down there and get that close? I can't even imagine. I'm not sure this is something that I would want to do. But there he is. God has said, you don't have to check this out. And he said, I just had a dream. To my surprise, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian. He came to the tent and struck it so that it fell and overturned, and the tent collapsed. Then his companion, that is the not Purah, but the companion of this Midianite, says, there is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for into his hand God has delivered Midian and the whole camp. He says, I know what this means. It means we're in some serious trouble here. Now think of this. Two men, but I'll tell you what, the strength that it took, it helped when Purah went down there with him. You know, and I think of this a lot in all of this. This is face of life and death. You know, you're going down to the camp of the enemy, and here you are. They went down together. I think of Ruth and Naomi. I just picked some out that I, you know, particularly like. You may think of some others that in the Bible. But in Ruth, it tells us this story about Ruth and Naomi. Now, Naomi was her mother-in-law. And this is used a lot of times at weddings, even though it's not talking about a husband and wife. It's talking about the fact that this is someone that's knit closely to someone else. She is knit so closely to Naomi that when Naomi finally says to her and the other daughter-in-law, just go away. You know, I can't provide you sons and I can't promise you anything. So why would you want to, you know, hang around with an old woman? I'm worthless. There's nothing left for me. You know, God's pretty much deserted me. Why would you want to be with me? Well, it's funny because in this case, I think Ruth had more faith in God than Naomi did at this moment, because she says something to her that's very good. She says in verse, I'm trying to find this real quick, in verse 16 of Ruth 1, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. And wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people should be my people and your God my God. Where you die, I will die. And there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. This is more than a casual friendship. This is a person who has put their faith and trust in this person and understands that Naomi has something she hasn't had. And what is it? Well, first of all, she says, I choose to be with you. Wherever you go, I'll be there. Not just that, but wherever you stay, I'll stay there. Not just that, with whomever you choose to be with, I'll be with them. Because I see what you have. She saw it more so than Naomi did. She saw the blessings that Naomi had more so than Naomi did. And she wanted that because here's what she says. Your God will be my God. From now on, I will not change this. And not just that, I'm going to do that in life and in death. Now that's a close-knit relationship. That's a person who wants to be with someone else. This is one of my favorites, David and Jonathan. In 1 Samuel 18, we see that they are, and I only picked out a couple. There's a lot of passages that talk about this relationship. Such a beautiful relationship. You have these two men who, in between them, is a father who hates David. Saul has found out that David's going to be next in line for the kingship, and he just really doesn't understand, and he wants David out of the way. Well, Jonathan really cares about David, and we find in one passage, in 1 Samuel 18, 1 through 4, And it was so, when he had finished speaking to Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit. Knit. That's that term, to be knit together with the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Saul took him that day and would not let him go home to his father's house anymore. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan took off his robe that was on him and gave it to David with his armor, even to his sword, his bow, and his belt. There's a man that really cares for someone else. He said, we're knit together. We've got a covenant. We're going to be close regardless. This is more than a casual friendship. This is someone that really cares about someone else. In chapter 20, verse 42, we find that when David is having to flee, and Jonathan's out there with him, and they do this with the shooting the arrow and so forth. But just this point made in verse 42. Then Jonathan said to David, go in peace, since we have both sworn in the name of the Lord, saying, may the Lord be between you and me, and between your descendants and my descendants forever. And what was their basis of their kinship? What was the basis of their companionship? God. They put God first in their life. And he said that would be the case. And then in 1 Samuel 23, verses 14 through 18. Saul is going after David. And he's trying to kill him. And Jonathan, of course, knows this. And Jonathan goes out in verse 14. And Jonathan and David stayed in strongholds in the wilderness and remained in the mountains in the wilderness of Ziph. Saul saw him every day, but God did not deliver him into his hands. So David saw that Saul had come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Ziph in the forest. Then Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the woods and strengthened his hand in God. It's got to be one of the most beautiful passages to think of the courage it took for Jonathan to do this. Jonathan knew how much his father hated David. He knew that David was... life was in peril, and he knew that wherever David was, he was in peril also. But he had faith in God. So what does he do? Does he go out there and say, you can do this? No, he said, God can do this, David. You've got it. You can take care of this. And he said to him, do not fear, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find you. That's confidence. That's confidence in God. This is the basis of what they're doing. You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you, even my father. Father Saul knows this. So the two of them made a covenant before the Lord, and David stayed in the woods, and Jonathan went to his own house. You know what's really amazing about this? Jonathan was next in line. Jonathan, under normal circumstances, would have been the next king. You talk about a person that really cares about someone, that is a true companion, someone that will build you up under circumstances like this, is amazing. He loved him as he loved his own soul. He shared with him. They had the same God, not an idol. He strengthened his hand in the Lord. Those are beautiful thoughts. And then Jesus, Peter, James, and John. The closeness of them. When you look at it, they were the first ones chosen according to Matthew in Matthew 4. In Matthew 17, he chose those three to go with him up on the mountain of transfiguration. And two of them, of course, one of them would die relatively young. But two of them would write about this later on. John and Peter would write about this. And they would write about how it affected their lives in 1 John 1 and 1 Peter. So when we look at this, we think about it, this was a tremendous thing to see, this transfiguration. And in Matthew 26:37, what else does he do? He takes them into the garden with him. Right before his death. He wants those three to be there with him. Now, granted, they all fell asleep. But that was the three that he wanted. Because he was very close to them. And we find he chose them as his companions in the gospel. He made the choice. Again, we've talked about these men before. Would we have chosen them? I don't know. Then Paul and Barnabas. We find that Barnabas in Acts 9:27 took Paul. He took him down to the disciples and he said, you have to accept this man. This man is one of us. And he spent time with him, a companion with him. I realize later on they had a strong discussion. But he was very good about including Paul in things. And later on, he and Paul in Acts 12, verse 25, would go out and teach the gospel together. And they were brothers, companions in the gospel. Then Paul and Timothy. The scripture actually in Romans 16:21, when he said he's a fellow worker, can be translated as a companion one that is knit together. He and Timothy had worked together in the gospel and had also worked together separately in the gospel, but he was close to him. They were fellow workers. He would call him his son. He would call him his son in the faith in 1 Timothy 1, 2, and 18. So what type of companions should we choose? Looking at these and thinking about these examples we've looked at, they made good choices, really good choices. But do we always? Well, Proverbs 27, verse 9, and I'll put these scriptures up to start with, and then from now on you're going to have to look them up in this section. Ointment and perfume delight the heart, and the sweetness of a man's friend gives delight by hearty counsel. You know, don't you appreciate people who try their best with hearty counsel out of their heart? They're trying to give this the best they possibly can, encourage you, talk to you, say, do good. I'm not going to let you go down that bad road. I'm going to be right there with you. I'm the type of person that's going to say, hey, don't do that. Or do you like the person that just says, oh, you know, whatever you think. I don't really know what the Bible says about that. Just whatever. Which one do we like the most? Proverbs 11:14. Where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. If you ever want safety, you need counselors. People who can honestly sit down and from the heart try to give you the best possible advice. Try to get you on that right road. That's the kind of people I want to be around. People who will tell me what the Bible says. Tell me how I need to do. Tell me what I need to do. How about one who comforts? Proverbs 17:17, it says, a friend loves at all times. All times. This is more than just a casual friend. This is a person, and that's the reason I chose these, this is a person who will all the time love. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. They're going to love you regardless of you having that bad moment or you're having that good moment. They're going to be right there with you. They don't care if you're going through the worst possible thing you can in life. They're there with you. It is amazing to me, and I know all of you have been through this, but it is amazing to me how many people, when the bad moments come for someone, they step back and they're gone. You're out there on your own. Hey, you made that mess, you know. Proverbs 18:24, the last part of it, says, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. That's that knit together. That's that companion in life. That's someone that you'll always know you can depend on. Someone that's always going to be there for you. So, is this the type of person we want to be around? I think so. How about one who helps us with our shortcomings? We all have those. Nick talked about them in prayer this morning. Why? Why do we do that? Because we know we've got them. We'd be lying if we didn't. We'd be saying, hey, I'm that perfect one. You can look at me. Well, no. You look at Christ. He's the perfect one. Proverbs 17:9. He who covers a transgression seeks love. It's not talking about covering in the sense of, oh, you know what? You don't need to really do anything about that sin. You just, no. It's talking about the fact that you're not going to talk about it. How do we know that? But he who repeats a matter separates friends. One of the worst things in life is when someone says, well, I only told so-and-so. I never expected them to tell someone else. It's the pillow thing. You're not going to get those feathers back. You're not going to get them back. And I'm going to tell you something. Sooner or later, it'll come around to bite you. And that's what God's talking about. Because you will not have anyone that trusts you. And if I do that, if I repeat those type of things, if I don't go to the grave with some things, I don't need to be telling Linda some things that are repeated to me. It's just the way it is. If we have a true companion in life, someone we're knit to, and they come and tell us something, it needs to end there. And sometimes, even though they don't say, don't repeat it, it needs to end there. And that's the kind of people I want to be around that will say, Abe, someone asked you a question. How many people in life, each one of you think, how many people in here knows that they could go to someone and it wouldn't be repeated? Who would you go to? Think about it. I know we can always go to God. He won't repeat it. He won't let it out. But who, what person do you feel that comfortable with that wouldn't let it slip, that wouldn't say, you know, I was just talking to so-and-so. James 5, 19 and 20, this is what we do. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Because if sin goes on, it gets worse and worse and worse. And if it's out there and it's repeated over and over and over again, it just makes it worse for that person. And all of us know the story about my dad used to tell about the story about the man with a bicycle. And he had parked it near the old-fashioned beer joints, as they used to call them. And so this woman saw it, so she just took it all over the neighborhood that this man had been in the bar drinking, because she saw his bicycle there. Well, it turned out it wasn't the reason that his bicycle was there. His bicycle was there because he had a flat tire, and that's where he'd had to drop it off till he could come back and get it fixed. So you know what he did? The next night, he left his bicycle in front of her house. If you're going to make that assumption, then you know what? Let him make that assumption about her and him. And that's what he was trying to tell her. We don't do that. Making assumptions about things we know nothing about, we don't do that. If we think someone's in sin, go talk to that person, get them out of it, we'll cover a multitude of sin. Otherwise, we just open up a can of worms we don't want to open up. Or one that doesn't meddle in our business. Now, I'm not talking to us about sin. I'm talking about just don't meddle in everything that we're trying to do. Proverbs 26:17, he who passes by and meddles in a quarrel not his own is like one who takes a dog by the ears. Don't do that. Because you are going to be in some serious trouble if that's a mean dog and you let go of those ears. Because he's probably going to, first of all, jerk them out of your hand. But we don't do that. Just don't do it. Or one who avoids strife and useless arguments. This is a type of companion we should choose. Is someone that we know, they're not going to try to just start something every time. That indeed, as Proverbs 17:14, the beginning of strife is like releasing water. Therefore, stop contention before a quarrel starts. I know no one in this room has ever sat there and worked themselves up over something. I know you haven't, right? You're perfect in that. You just sit there and you go, I'm going to let that go, right? No. Most of us, we just work ourselves up, and the more we work ourselves up, and the more we suppose, and the more we think about it, we just release it. Release those waters like releasing them. You release water from a dam, and there's nothing below that dam that's going to hold up if you release enough of it. And what he's trying to say is, don't do that. The type of person you want to be around is one who understands what's about to occur. They understand that if they open up those floodgates, this is not going to be good. That it's going to get worse and worse and worse. So what do? They serve as the dam. They're not going to let this happen. They try to bring peace. They try to get people and say, hey, let's don't be doing this. I'm not talking about peace where there is no peace. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about, again, overlooking sin. I'm just talking about don't get into useless arguments. Be very careful with where we go with these things. And be very careful that we don't end up causing more trouble than we can possibly handle in our lives. So which type of person would you want to be around? Well, these are some folks that I would choose to be around. And when I think about these people, I think that's good people. Now, you may think of other scriptures, and you may think, well, that's people I would like to be around as well. But think about this. One who gives us good, hearty counsel, that cares about us enough that they're going to try to do their best to get us to do what's right. One who comforts us when we need it. I know God is the God of all comforts, but we also need people that will be there and will not just look down on us when we get ourselves in certain situations or whatever. They'll be there to help us out. Or one who doesn't look down on us because we have sin. Because in return, how would we treat them? And then one who doesn't meddle in our business, and one who avoids strife and arguments. I'm going to tell you the one that's the best friend of all. It's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And what the Bible says about that is, He's the one that was a true friend that gave His life up for us. He not only did all the things that we've talked about this morning as that true companion of ours, But He's always there for us. As long as we'll keep doing things in our life that makes Him possible for Him to be there, He'll be there. But let me tell you, there's only one way to be there with Him. There's only one way to be His companion. He said, if you're my friend, you do whatsoever I command you. And He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. We're going to stand and sing a song. If you have any needs whatsoever, we would ask you to please let us know about those, and we'll help you in any way we possibly can. We're going to sing a song of None of Self and All of Thee. At this time, please stand.